Way to lead into my topic. So my idea that I had bubbling inside of my heart was talking about created for connection across the generations. And so that song that we finished with was just such a wonderful lead into this. And I'll just read that verse out to you before we start. So it says in Numbers 6, verse 24, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Move it back a little bit, because at some point I'm going to get some volunteers up to read. It hasn't been planned and that I haven't gone and picked people, because I'm sure that with the creative brains in this room, some volunteers will just put up their hand anyway. And I'm going to need a cross range of ages as well. So if you think, oh yeah, I can read from a Bible, and if you have one here today, which I hope some of us do, then you may be the person that can come up and share up the front. But before we do that, let me start off with a couple of stories. So we may have a picture come up on the screen soon of my grandmother. So my grandmother lived up in Kaitaia, and for a long time we would make the big trip up there. I think it's about 4 hours to get up there approximately. We would always have our Marmite sandwiches or our egg sandwiches, you know the ones if you've been around for a few haircuts. And we'd make the long journey up. Is that still going? Or is that? Can you hear me on the microphone though? Okay, great. So this is my lovely grandmother Dawn, and I named Abriana's middle name after Grandma Dawn. So it's on my dad's side, my dad's mum. And one thing that's little Shiloh up there, so cute. One thing that I distinctly remember about her, as I got to the age where I could drive by myself on my full license, which back in those days was 17. I know that's quite late for some of you who were even a little bit older than me and got your full license by 15 or 16. But I would drive up 4 hours by myself, pick up Grandma, and drive back. So that was a four-hour journey that I would have in the car with her, or the other way, I would drop her off after Dad had brought her down. And I just so appreciate the special times that we would have together chatting. And even, like, I feel myself even tearing up because of the significance of her relationship with me, and especially in the spiritual aspect. So she would always be someone who I would write letters to and say, oh, Grandma, this is what's going on in my life. Can you pray for me? Or I'd ring her up on the phone and say, can you pray for me? Knowing that she would pray for me on a regular basis. And as well as that, as we would drive, she would share history about the significant roads along the way. Oh, this was the road where we almost bought that farm, but I felt a presence of God say, no, don't buy that farm. And it almost cost me my marriage, but God came through. You know, like things like that. I still to this day know that name of that road because she would tell us, oh, this is the beach where we'd stop and collect pippies and cockles, you know, things like that, sharing that history and that heritage. And still to this day, I really feel very strongly connected to her. The second photo is of Niall's grandparents. So in Niall's family, his dad was adopted. So if anyone knows Owen was adopted into this family here, the Whites. And they had two of their own kids, and then they adopted two kids, a boy and a girl, later on down the track. And it was a Christian family, but the significant Christian influence was from the grandparents to Niall, as opposed to his dad to him. And so Brian and Allison over here, the reason why Niall is on track with God and is seeking after God and is passionate about God, because they would pray for him. Niall was a naughty little kid. Honestly, if you hear some of his stories, he did some crazy stuff. And I'm, you know, like I can honestly say, and he would say that where he is at today as a godly father, as an amazing husband, as a great leader, is because of Brian and Allison praying for him. And every Wednesday night, Niall would go over to their house and they would have a community dinner. So they lived in a situation where it was like a big farm, similar to what Lifeway was where I actually live now, where there's multiple houses on the farm and many different people live there and share a community together. And so they would cycle around one house each week doing a Wednesday night youth dinner, and everyone would come together. And so Niall would come and would be part of a Christian family. At that time, his mum and dad weren't walking with God, and it was a very volatile space to be in. Later down the track, they both gave their lives to God, and it's a completely different situation now. But in that season of life, his grandparents were his safe place. They were the place that he could go to learn about God. That was the security. And again, Brian and Allison would pray over him. And so I just wanted to start off my talk by sharing about significant people in my life that have influenced my spiritual walk and have been that covering and have been those mentors and the people that journey with me in my faith. Now it's your turn. So for this activity, you need to be near other people. So I can see we've got a few pockets of space. So if you're down the back and you don't have a little baby or some excuse to not be up the front, can you please come and fill this space so that these people here, because Paul, Lyndon and Ange, they don't want to just talk to each other. They want to talk to some other people. Oh, look, here we go, Anna. Nice, Anna. She's even got the baby, okay? So you guys down the back, no excuse. Thank you, Eugene. Come on, Steve. Come on up. Thank you. Awesome. Because otherwise it will be awkward if you're just talking to the same person you always come to church to with. Now, can you please turn around and make little pods of space that you're going to chat to each other? And what you're going to chat about, first of all, you might need some time to think. I'll give you 2 minutes to think, and then you're going to turn and talk. Now, you're thinking about a significant person in your life who was older in this situation that has impacted your life. Okay, so have a little think in a really positive way, because I know not everyone has had a positive impact on our lives. Who was someone in your life who had a positive, significant influence on you? It could be a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, a youth leader, a scout coach, a sports coach. There's many different types of people it could be. So can you now have a little think and then turn and talk? If there's no talking going on, then you haven't got the point of what I'm talking about, okay? So turn now, turn around, find someone, talk. Jono, are you able to translate for Shun? Shun, go closer to Jono, go closer, yep. Okay. Hamish, do you want to talk to someone about, no, you guys okay? If you want to, you can join in, okay? That's okay, buddy. Okay. You guys turn and talk this way. We need a pod. Okay, these guys are going to join you, okay? Yeah, you guys all right? You need, right. Who would you like to come? Would you like to move from your seat or do you want to stay in your seat? Okay, so let's join you in. There's two people here. Would you guys like to join this group? Is that okay? Ethan and Danielle, are you okay to shuffle down that way a little bit? And because these guys are going to join this group. Here, should we get you another chair? I'll just find you another one. Okay. To read out some verses that I have looked up that's significant to each, kind of like each pot of age. And why am I talking about this? Because I want to this week inspire us as a church and stir up inside of us a desire to connect across the generations. It's so easy to just shove the little kids over that side, which we kind of have done today. I mean, they could have all been in here and I would have been okay with that, because the chaos is part of the beauty of it. But they've all gone off and done their separate things, and that's okay. But hey, wouldn't it be amazing if we can develop this to be a church that interacts and connects across the generations? So that's really what my heart is for today, because we are created for connection across the generations. And what we believe will shape our actions and how we live, and that impacts our community and our church and then the community out. So we represent the good news of Jesus, and how we live reflects this. And connecting across the generations is part of the heart of God. So I'll start off with a verse about children. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Yeah, and they all wanted God to say you, but he didn't. Jesus said, well, he called the little children to him. Yes, those wriggly little children up the front that might be fighting this morning or, you know, might have been making a noise next to you in worship. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sin and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on behalf is welcoming me. I get the amazing privilege of working with little kids day in and day out. So I work with 5-year-olds at school. And this week we put on some worship songs and I could just see them hands lifted up and they were singing at the top of their voice. And it was hilarious because they were out of tune and they were like out of time. And it was just so awkward. But at the same time, I was just so impacted by their heart for God, their ease to just put their hands up when some of us are too awkward to do that in church. They were just worshiping God. And I thought, wow, I'm so blessed in my job to day in and day out encounter the childlikeness of children. And I also get the chance to serve in Tribe. So in Tribe we have, that's our primary school age, goes right up to the year sixes. And again, what a beautiful age group to work with. I remember so many significant situations in my life. I grew up in church and just having those opportunities to be at what we called Sunday school or craft club after learning about God. And it was such a foundational time for me. So if anyone has a heart to work with that age group, it's amazing. It's fun. They come up with all sorts of beautiful questions. And you can come and see me after church if you would like to sow into our church in that way. But over to you, Ryan. He's going to read about youth. And this is 1 Timothy 4, verse 12.
Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
Cool. And over to, I think the key thing from that is don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Thank you. Okay, over to.
Oh, really? That's amazing. Okay, sorry. Is this on? Is this on?
Okay,
the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Hold on, I've just lost my picture. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken.
So that was Jeremiah when God commissioned him and he said, oh, I can't do it, I'm too young. And God was like, that's no excuse. So over to this kind of middle age. This is 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 to 2.
Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity.
And over to you, Brian. And I just want to say before Brian reads out, this might be something that you don't know about Brian, but he actually plays hockey, don't you, Brian? Against people Caleb's age. How I know this is because Caleb told me, Brian comes and plays competitive hockey. And I just think you are amazing. Now, not everyone in the church is going to be able to live up to that standard, but I just think the life and the energy that you have, that you would play a competitive sport, I hope that I can be somewhere near that when I get a few more grey hairs like you. So Brian is reading Job 12, verse 12.
Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?
Thank you. So let's give our volunteers a clap. Thank you for coming up and reading. I know I put you on the spot, but that's all right. You guys can handle it. So each of those was just a glimpse of an age group. There's many, many verses in the Bible, and I've got at the end of my notes, I've got screeds of verses that I could have put in, but we don't have time to read them all out today. And in fact, we could probably do some on this topic. We could talk for many Sundays, but you've just got me for one. So one other story that I wanted to bring out was about the amazing connections that I've had with people of different generations than me recently. Last week, Cherry and I had a beautiful chat after when we were drinking our coffee about some of the amazing things that she's involved in at the moment. I could just sense her heart, and it inspired me to continue to reach out to other people by having that conversation with Cherry. And then I also wanted to bring up the lovely Liz and Lynn and Christine, who are part of our Mani Music team, who help out week in and week out. And I know that many of the people here have served at a time in Mani Music. They've served for a season in Tribe or in Creche or in Youth. So sometimes our seasons change, but I just wanted to say a massive thank you to Liz and to Lynn and to Christine, because without them, Christina and I couldn't run Mani Music. And they come along and they serve by setting up, by doing some admin, by greeting the families that come in. So for those of you who don't know, Mani Music is for preschoolers, and we have parents that come, we have mums or dads or grandparents that will bring their kids along. We sing and dance, we have some coffee and cake, the kids play with toys and the families connect. And it's a real lifesaver for some people in our community to come along to that week by week. So thank you to those people who help in the community with that. It's amazing. So why should we make the effort to reach across the generations and to sow into others? It is because we are designed to live across the generations. We're designed to connect cross-generationally. And I think in our environment and our culture that we live in, we sometimes forget that, because maybe you don't have your grandparents nearby, maybe you live in a different country to your brothers and sisters and your parents, and so therefore we can sometimes think, oh, this is just what the kids do, this is just what the youth do. I meet with my friends that are my age, and those people meet with their friends and they go and play bridge in the community centre in the evenings, and we play our netball. So I think we have got it a little bit wrong in that we naturally tend to just cling to people that are similar to us and a similar age. But intergenerational fellowship leads to organic discipleship. Now, I didn't come up with that, but I think it's amazing. So I'm going to read it again. It came from some of my research I was doing. Intergenerational fellowship, so that means hanging out with people of a different age, leads to organic discipleship. Organic meaning like natural, it just happens naturally. So sometimes we might think, oh, why is our discipleship not working so well? Maybe it's because we've put all of the same people together who have the same challenges and the same problems, instead of putting them with people who are a little bit further down the track, or who have a little bit more energy and a little bit more passion and vigor. So in Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 it says, take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart in all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. I love hearing stories from other people about what God is doing in the community, in their life, what God has done in the past, and the hope for what God is going to do in the future. So another reason why we should make the effort to reach across the generations is because rich discipleship benefits a full range of God's family, and it's worth pursuing. It helps us to see wider than our own circumstances and situations. So if you're all in the same season of life, it's hard to see outside of that. I know when I had kids who wouldn't sleep through the night, that's all that was in front of me, and I couldn't see a way around it. And now they're sleeping through the night, And I'm like, oh, I made it through that season. And of course, people who are further down the track than me would have told me it's going to be okay. But at the time, I didn't think it was going to be okay. I was just stuck on the fact that I was getting very little sleep. Why else should we make the effort to reach across generations? Because God tells us to. It says in Galatians 6. Now, I'm just going to turn to Galatians 6, so bear with me. It starts off with bear one another's burdens. That's why I said bear with me. You like that joke? Okay. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. So why should we connect with people across the generations? Because it's part of bearing one another's burdens. I talked to a mum who has young kids this week, and she was like, oh, I'm just so exhausted. I would just love if someone could come and watch my kids so I could sleep for a couple of hours. That is a chance for a cross-generational connection, because another mum coming in with her kids, it's not going to work. So you need someone on either side of you in a different generation to come in and say, I'll fold your washing and watch your kids while you sleep. Oh, you know, I'll walk the kids around the block while you attend your meeting. So it says, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who taught the word of God should provide for those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So that moves on to my third idea. Why connect across the generations? Because we will, as we sow into others, we will also reap. So as I step out a little bit and share what I have with someone else, then in turn it will come back around. And I don't share to expect something to come back, but naturally that's how things work. For example, I have a beautiful neighbour who lives down the road, and we connected over the cows. So there was cows on one side of the fence. I was hanging out washing. He said hi. I said hi back. And then a week later, I noticed there was fruit and veggies on my doorstep, and there was a little name from Steve. And I was like, Steve Hathaway? Steve Reynolds? And it wasn't them, so I actually checked. I was like, oh, thanks, Steve. I don't know who it was. It actually turned out to be the elderly neighbour who had said hi to me, and I just hadn't caught that his name was Steve. Either he told me and I forgot, or I didn't bother to ask. So Steve, ever since that, like probably a year or two ago, has at regular times been dropping off fruit and veggies to my doorstep. And we have a good chat. And recently, a couple of weeks ago, his elderly mum passed away. So we were able to encourage him and just share kindness with him and share a listening ear. And at times, I'll just make sure I've got extra baking in my freezer. So when he comes, if I'm there, I'll give him some baking. And it's something that's not any extra burden to me. I just need to make extra muffins or slice. But he loves being able to share from his abundance. And so I'm just so blessed by him stepping out time and time again. And I think, wow, as he is giving, I'm able to give a little bit back. And it's kind of like a nice cycle around. Okay, so why should we connect with each other across generations? We're designed to, God tells us to, and as we sow into others, it'll come back around. Now it's time to get practical again. What could this look like? Start with what you already have in your hand. If you think you might be in a season where you think, I've got nothing to give, and I understand that season. I've been in seasons like that where I think I'm just getting by each day. And for whatever reason, it could be a variety of things going on in your life. Just first of all, take the time to think, what do I already have in my hand? What am I already doing that I could just extend out a little bit more? You don't have to drum up a whole lot of energy or go and do something that's massively different from what you already do. It's just starting with where you're already at, what you already have, and just extending it out a little bit. So here are some examples, and then I'm going to get you back into your groups to chat, because there's no point in just listening if it doesn't impact your life and bring change to your life later on. So I thought of three different areas. What can you do? What can you give? And what could you say? Now, you guys might come up with some other amazing ideas as well. And you can probably share those in your time when you get back together. I think I've got approximately negative 2 minutes, but we'll do this anyway, okay? We'll just give the youth a little bit of extra time to do their to get their coffees really awesome for you. So, doing. Here's some ideas, and I'll rattle them off. Write something down if something is like, yes, I want to do that. Okay, have you got skills in mechanics, fishing, sport, housework, child mining, groceries, gardening, visiting people, walking, music, budgeting, homework, arts and crafts, caring for animals, maintenance, and praying for people and empowering them? So these are like a range of things that you might have a strength in that you could already do. I love how Deirdre is like, well, I like walking, I like nature, why don't I bring some people along with me and we can connect? That's a natural lead into connection. Okay, something you can give. Time, listening, finance, wisdom, money skills, baking, produce, trailer, meals together, interests, like sharing some of your interesting things that you do, hobbies maybe. So you might be like, trailer, what about a trailer? Do you know how many people need trailers and don't have them, right? Yeah, a tow bar? If you've got a tow bar and a trailer and someone's needs something moved, oh yeah, I can do that. It'll take an hour of your time, hopefully, maybe more. But I've got it. Why don't I help you? But you only know this if you are already living in connection. You won't know what people need unless you actually reach out. And last one, what can you say? Words of encouragement, words of wisdom. When they're invited, sometimes words of wisdom are just annoying and you don't want to hear it. Just like, is this person inviting me to tell them my ideas or should I just sit and listen? Gratitude, honor, and stories. So what could you say this week to someone that could spur them on to succeeding in their season that they're in? Okay, now we're going to get back into our little groups, and this is also where we're going to finish. So I'll end my part now. You'll get back into your groups. What you're going to do is you're going to give yourself a minute just to think first. You might like do that closing your eyes or having your eyes open, depends how you focus. And then back into your groups, you're going to say something that you think you could bring this week to connect with something, with someone. And or someone who you could connect with. You don't have to use names. You could just say, oh, the neighbor down the road, the girl at the supermarket, the scout leader, whatever. And then you're going to have a few minutes to pray. Now, naturally, you'll finish praying at different times, and then that will lead you off to going up to buy some amazing coffee or the free coffee. And if there's anyone who also wants prayer for something else, then there'll be people up the front who are available to pray with you as well. I just wanted to say that now so that then you can naturally speak in your groups, pray with each other, and then lead off to morning tea. Is that all right, Lyndon? Okay, so my question to you is, who are you reaching out to, older and younger? Okay, there is no age group that you cannot reach with your kindness. Pray, ask God to show you one or two people or something that you have to offer. Turn and pray with each other and about who you could reach out to this week. And or if you really have a need at the moment, we could pray for that too. So in your little group, say, hey, I'm really struggling with this week. Can you please pray for me? Because right then and there, you're fulfilling a need. So back into your groups. Turn to each other. And this is where we're going to finish. Do because already we have someone who has thought of an idea. So the lovely Josephine over here, Josephine has works with massage, and she said, I'd love to gift a free massage to a young mum. So if you know a young mum, sorry, the rest of you that don't fit in that category, then tell them to come and see Josephine, okay? All right, back to your talking, back into your